All right, make sure you're in fellowship. We're here in verses 10 through 14, essentially dissecting the prayer here of Abraham's servant once he arrives at his destination. We see that he is oriented to divine providence. He's where he is supposed to be according to the instructions given to him by Abraham. And at that point in time, after he puts the camels down to rest from their trip at the perfect time in arrival, when women came, especially single women, to draw water, one of their chores around the household, he prays both petition and intercessory in regards to the situation at hand. A petition, obviously, is for God, Yahweh, to grant him success personally in his endeavors to find Isaac's right woman, and intercessory to continue to show his loyal, steadfast love to his master, Abraham. And in respect to his petition, he has to take an unknown situation and put it in some perspective that he can see, if you will, experience divine guidance in regards to the moves he's to make in looking for this woman now that he is there in the proper geographical location. Obviously, his guidance was given to him by Abraham as to where he needs to be. Now what? This is an unknown in the proposition for him to find this female, which they have no idea who that's going to be in this regards. So he, in his prayer, he, if you will, asks God for a sign, indication, to help him identify a potential right mate for Isaac. And that's where we was left off, page 17.34 of our notes. As he now prays for a very specific result in regards to his endeavors, verse point 34, he devised an imaginative character test for the would-be female that would make a satisfactory bride for Isaac. Then in verse 14a, quote, "Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, let that be the one that obviously he has continued to pursue in his endeavors. 35, now the test here that he creates, imposed on the young woman, has an easy part and then obviously a more difficult part. 36, the easy part is the servant's request for a drink, our term shathah in the Hebrew, of water from her jar or her kad, Hebrew for jar. That's the easy part. Please have a drink. So 37, in that regard, she must not hesitate to offer this stranger a drink. How will she react? 38, this part of the character test is, of course, something that she agrees to of her own free will. She chooses to meet his request of need. 39, now the part of the test not based on any request by the servant then is the hard part in regards to it happening. There is no lead in regards to her reaction, and that is to volunteer, point 39, on her own accord to water, or term shekah, all 10 camels kneeling at the well. So the easy part is made by suggestion, a verbal suggestion by the servant to please give him a drink. The hard part, then she must follow up, not only in agreement to give her a drink, but on her own accord. Look at the situation. See the camels that are with the man and offer to satiate their thirst. So 40, he prays that God will show him the right girl based on her willingness to do a very fairly arduous task when she had another responsibility. Now, recognize that he is potentially addressing a young girl, a young female, that obviously has other duties, or else she wouldn't be at that well. She is there to get water for whatever personal intents and purposes of the family that she is supposed to do as part of her obligations. And now the prayer wants her to not only take a moment to share that water and give him a drink, but to take on another task, another job, if you will, in addition to whatever else she's supposed to be doing at this point in time in regards to her responsibilities. And to water 10 camels is not just some 5-minute endeavor that is being requested or being proposed that she volunteered to do on her own. 41, this is all the more amazing, the picture is, when it is known that there were any number of other males as part of the caravan that could have easily watered the camels. Verse 59, towards the end of the chapter, we're informed, indeed, that this caravan, the servant did not wrangle the camels on his own and do this trip on his own. He took help with him. And thus they sent away their sister Rebecca, verse 59, and her nurse, an additional passenger, with Abraham's servant and his men. So he had other males that were there, obviously more than capable, and would have been doing this throughout the trip. So they're all sitting around or meandering or whatever. They're there. And still on top of all that, the prayer is to incite God to somehow bring about a woman. But just look at the situation and disregard the help, and on own accord be so willing to come in and step in and do this job. So you're looking for your right woman? Here's your prayer. I'm kidding. Not really, but you know, there you are. 42, the female that demonstrated hospitality on this level is an act of hospitality, an act of service, a almost demeaning, humble act of service. To do so on this level, point 42, would be the one that would be a worthy candidate for the servant's master's son. 43, any number of females might offer a weary traveler a drink, but it would be rare indeed for one of their own accord to offer to water 10 thirsty camels on top of it all. Forty-four, the two components together reflect one that is compassionate and gracious enough to humble herself at request in obedience to give him a drink, and then industrious enough, energetic, thoughtful, willing to immerse herself in application, industrious enough to extend her application as she would see needed. Even though the servants were around, she could still see that the camels would be in need of water, as if the caravan had just basically had just pulled in and were not at the trough drinking. She saw a job. She didn't wait for other people to jump in and take care of it. She would say, "I'll do it." So 45, the test formulated in prayer here brings to mind the test of Gideon and the fleece in Judges 6, 36 through 40, where God is tested, if you will, to show a sign for a direction on Gideon's part, Judges 6, 36 through 40. Gideon, a champion of believers' cause of Israel. Gideon said to God, "If you will deliver Israel through me, as you have spoken." God's already gave him the twix. He is to take the lead. He would be, if you will, a commander to deal with enemies, the oppressors of Israel. And Gideon beseeches God, and he wants further confirmation. He says, verse 37, "Behold, I will put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only, and is dry on all the ground, then I will know that you will deliver Israel through me as you have spoken." So, for the material to be wet, yet there's no moisture otherwise around there, that would be basically a miracle. Something so unique, it would be unquestionable. And he gets up, verse 38, "And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he drained the dew from the fleece, a bowl full of water." The cotton ball holds moisture, obviously, in that regard. In verse 39, "And Gideon said to God, 'Do not let your anger burn against me, that I may speak once more. Please let me make a test once more with the fleece, let it now be dry only on the fleece, and let there be dew on all the ground.' And God did so that night," verse 40, "for it was dry only on the fleece, and the dew was on all the ground." All the grass and everything else was wet. So there's an example of a believer, just a believer, asking God for a sign, for direction and confidence, if you will, continued confidence in his part of God stating that he's going to use him to deliver Israel. So obviously they're not exactly the same, but we see a similar approach in prayer of asking God for a sign for all intents and purposes. So 46, in both examples, the individuals put God to the test, and God responded in a positive fashion. Now, generally speaking, we're told not to test God. But there are certain aspects when it comes down to application of doctrine that the request to test is for God to give opportunity to manifest himself in regard to the situation, and not a sinful aspect of looking for a sign or some miracle because of lack of faith otherwise in that regards. And not to get into the Gideon side of the coin, which it has its own intents and purposes. For our side, here our servant, 47, here is a man who is a long way from home, and he has no other means of identifying the right woman to take home to his master's son. what's he to do? What's he to do? Sit there and flip a coin? You know, look for the best looking chick around? You know, say this will do. Or what he chooses to do is pray to God to provide a woman with certain qualities, exceptional qualities. A woman that in his own mind, in his own thinking, would be what he would expect a right woman to be for Isaac. Those kinds of qualities, etc. So he devises this character test for God to bring about a woman that, in, under these conditions, would be so motivated at the level of his imagined test that he has laid out in his prayer. 48, how else would he be able to pick out one female from many that would make a suitable bride for Isaac? As we get into the situation deeper, we'll see the wisdom behind his prayer. It's not some prayer that, you know, make it rain gold or something, you know, that would just be more or less superficial to the situation. It is a prayer that is doctrinally prompted, devised, and motivated based on sound doctrine in his soul. 49, he, the servant, fully believed Abraham that Yahweh would, quote, send his angel before you, end quote. Abraham told him that. You'll have divine guidance. Supernatural divine guidance. An angel. In regards to this. So he fully believed that. Point 49. And now looks that guidance in prayer in a way that would reveal the kind of good wife Positivism would expect. Fifty. He is not here acting presumptuously or crazy, but simply taking to heart his commission and utilizing sound doctrinal guidance as basis for God to further direct in divine providence. On the other end of the coin, Christ himself, of the religious types at his time, these spiritual morons were completely maladjusted. And they were always looking for a sign in regards to Jesus' proclamation as being Messiah. It was not a request of God to manifest the truth of His Word. It was a request to appease their own human viewpoint, STA, approach regards to the matter. There's a major difference. And Jesus calls them for what they are. Evil. Because of their complete lack and failure of faith in Bible doctrine and putting the doctrine together to come to conclusion in determining things in their life otherwise, such as Christ being Messiah. Matthew 12:30. That's not it. Let's see. Probably here. Um,
That's right.
At 12:39. The synoptics recorded to verse 38, the sin of the scribes and Pharisees. They responded to him saying, "Teacher, we went to see a sign from you." He had been teaching doctrine, obviously, in his ministry. And part of his teaching is explanation, instruction that he is the promised Messiah. He is the one. And we know in regards to Israel at this point in time, their religious reversionism had dove into a pot of legalism to such an extent that they no longer regarded the necessity of the Messiah for their spiritual salvation, only in terms of their physical deliverance from being under the yoke of rule of others and establishing Israel as the dominant nation of the world and an eternal kingdom in this regards. They believe that, as legalists still, many legalists still believe today, that you get into heaven by, for them, to keep the law and being circumcised, doing good works. And that faith was not in Messiah, was not any part of the prescription. And for them, for Jesus to reveal himself as being Messiah, the sign they want to see, let's see you kill a few Romans. See. Overcome, show us evidence that you have this power to overcome Roman rule. They really grated under this. They hated to be under this type of domination as a nation. Jesus reads them like a book. He knows exactly where they're coming from. So, in spite of the fact that he has fed thousands of people with just a little bit of food, he's raised people from the dead, he heals people every day, all these other things, all these other indications, you know, that along with his message, God gave him the ability to do supernatural things to verify that what was coming from his mouth indeed was true, because he is claiming that it was God giving him the power. Now, would God do that if God wasn't? In spite of all that, they wanted to see a sign. And that's verse 39. He answered and he said to them, "An evil and adulterous," that's spiritual adultery, "generation craves for a sign." For those who reject, dismiss Bible doctrine as their guidance and insight in regards to things, are operating strictly from negative volition and their SCA. See, they're not looking to God's revelation through His Word, which is made available to all of us for the instruction. They had the Old Testament. They should have known. They should have been identified through the prophecy of Daniel 70 weeks. There were believers there that did. And what's these guys' problems? Well, they're negative. And unfortunately, that was a lot of the majority of Israel at the time of Jesus' ministry. And he said, "Yet no sign shall be given to it, but a sign of Jonah the prophet." There's your doctrine. And if they have enough doctrinal foresight and wisdom, at the very end of the whole thing, they should be able to figure it out when he's raised from the dead. Ooh, it was him. That's what Jonah symbolized in regards to his ordeal with the great fish. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the sea monster, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. So, this is not the type of approach being taken here by this servant. Something totally, starkly different. Here, it is someone simply looking for divine guidance in an unknown situation. You know, God's looking for God's protection. Storm, you don't know where a tornado's at. Which way do I go, right or left? And you shoot up a prayer, God, maybe give me help. Help me go the right direction, or whatever. Here, it's obviously trying to pick a needle out of a haystack, so to speak. One woman out of many that would be probably available as potential wives of another. So he's not acting crazy. He's not running with his STA in disbelief. He is taking